Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Christmas Week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call right now to 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we're going to talk about him again today.
We're
going to talk about Jesus,
okay.
And we're going to talk about his birth, and we're going to talk a little bit out of the book of Matthew, the first two chapters. It's kind of interesting. Matthew starts with a genealogy, and there have been many Jewish people who have kind of bought into the lie that Christianity was a totally separate religion, totally separate from Judaism. And then they open up the New Testament and read the first chapter of Matthew, and they read all of these Jewish names in the genealogy, and they say, wait a minute, there might be something to Christianity being the fulfillment, being what Judaism was pointing toward from the very get-go. So there have been so many testimonies of Jewish people giving their lives to Christ simply in reading this genealogy. But it's interesting, Matthew is making a point in this genealogy. He starts with Abraham, and every Jewish person, that's where they would start. They would start with Abraham. The blessing, the promise was given to Abraham, then to Isaac, then to Jacob, and then through Judah, and then all the way to Jesus. Well, as the prophets of old said, somebody was going to sit on the throne of David forever. Well, this genealogy establishes Jesus as that person.
Yes.
He is of the bloodline of David. And so that's what Matthew wants us to realize, that Jesus came into this world as king. And that's important for all of us to know. He is the ruler. We can trust him with that. And then we see the birth. We see the birth of Jesus taking place in Bethlehem. And then Magi come from the east to worship him. And they said this, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. So the Magi's knew something about Jesus, just as the genealogy did. And I think that's why Matthew brings in this particular story, because it carries forward the theme that Jesus is King of the Jews. Now, that brings about some ire as far as Herod is concerned. He doesn't want anybody to take his place. He was the King of the Jews. He was seated on that throne. And he didn't want anybody to take his place. And so that announcement by the Magi that they were seeking this babe who was born King of the Jews caused jealousy in his heart. And he wanted to do something about that. Now, I think this is important for us to kind of think about a little bit. Satan has wanted to get rid of Jesus from the get-go. Satan has done everything in his power to stop the plan of God to bring Jesus into this world. Now that Jesus was on the scene, he had been born, he had been wrapped in the swaddling clothes, he was in a manger, the shepherds found him there, they spread the word about Jesus to people in the surrounding area. Those who heard about Jesus were amazed. Mary pondered these things in her heart. And now, maybe 2 years later, we're not sure the time frame, but up to 2 years later, the Magi come to visit. And they're looking for this babe who was born King of the Jews. So he's here. Jesus may be 2 years old or so. And we see Satan hasn't given up. He wants to put an end to this babe. And so he's working through Herod and the prophetic word that Herod was going to give word to kill all the babies in this region. And so they did. They sent in the soldiers and killed all of the male babies, 2 years old and younger, in that area. Well, God knew what was going to happen, and he had told Joseph in a dream, take the babe, take Mary, y'all escape to Egypt. And when it's safe, I'll tell you, and you can return back to Nazareth. That's what happened. And this babe, born in a manger, born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago, born to be king of the Jews, was a problem to the world system. It's a problem to Satan. He's a problem to our flesh. He's a problem to everything that's against God. And all of those forces together want to do everything to get rid of Jesus. And we see that in the story. That should clue us in that this babe was important. This babe had a purpose. And for those who see it, they are made alive together with Christ and can spend eternity with him. This babe is worth taking a look at.
Absolutely. And Basic Gospel, we do that daily, everybody. And we're glad that you've joined us for this edition to do that. 844-322-2742. If you have a question about this, if you'd like to join this conversation, if you'd like to pose a question or possibly present a different topic of conversation, why, give us a call. 844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, a quick question from Gregory, who listens on the Word here in the Dallas area. He says, what is the kind of obedience the Bible is talking about? He doesn't give a scripture reference, but his question goes on. It says, is it like obeying a person who says, do this or do that? He says, a lot of preachers seem to refer to obedience like that. I don't know. What do you think about it? That's from Gregory, who lives here in the Dallas area.
Well, that's an excellent question. Yeah. I think of our good friend Major Ian Thomas, who had a definition of faith. And it goes something like this, that, you know, faith starts with first God's love for us, which brings about our love for God, which brings about our dependence upon God, which then brings about our obedience to God. And it's in that order. So it starts with the love of God. You're never going to trust someone that you're unsure that they love and care for you. But God goes overboard to let us know that he loves us. He demonstrated that love through Christ's death on the cross, and we see it time and time again. And so as we see the love of God in action in the person of Christ, our hearts begin to respond to him in love. So we love because he first loved us. That's going to lead us to a life of dependence upon him. That's that walk of faith, which eventually leads to obedience to him. So I use this as an example. In the book of Corinthians, Paul writes, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So we use that a lot as far as marriage is concerned, but it has broader application than just simply marriage. But here Paul is saying, under the compulsion of the Holy Spirit, to not marry someone that's not a believer. Well, why would he say that? Just so he could test us to see if we would obey? Absolutely not. He has our best interest in mind. So when I know that God loves me and I can respond to that love and then live in dependence upon him, when he says don't marry an unbeliever, that just makes sense. I say, okay, Lord, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to find somebody that we are equally yoked together, that we share a common bond in Christ Jesus. So we try to put obedience before the cart or the horse. How does
something.
That go? Something like,
yeah.
Something like that.
Well, yeah, we're always thinking that we obey in order to get something, in order to prove something, in order to demonstrate something. And it's not that at all. We obey because of that whole long list of things that God has already done for us. It's purely a response to something that's already true.
Yes, indeed. So if we think of faith as this train, mm-hmm. the love of God is the engine. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes it run. And obedience really is the caboose. It's the final outlet for this faith in this world in which we live. So let's go over that one more time. I think it's important. It begins with the love of God. So as we respond to the love of God, that produces love in us. John wrote that in terms of belief. What is the first command that John wrote about in 1 John 3? That we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our love for God is all about. Well, that belief, that love of God, then spells itself out in dependence upon God, which then spells itself out in obedience to God. So love, dependence, obedience. Those are the three aspects of this thing we call faith.
Yes, indeed. Gregory, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Well, calls are beginning to come in, so Bob, I guess let's just go to them.
Let's do. Let's start in Los Angeles and talk to Antoine. Hi, Antoine.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
We're doing well. Welcome, my friend.
That's good. I can agree with you when the Lord say be equally yoked, because it's nice to go to church with your spouse. It's kind of like going on a date. It reminds me, you got to get all dressed up, and then you go and listen to some music and see friends or brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're not equally yoked, it's kind of hard to do that kind of stuff. Like, I got a buddy who wasn't equally yoked, and they went to separate churches. You know, she had like more one of those churches that's more had a certain belief system that he didn't believe, and so they went to separate churches, and now they're not even together no more. So I can see why God say be equally yoked. But I had called about a caller. I had called in on Thursday. He had said he was down, kind of depressed about not overcoming sin, not being able to beat sin. But I just wanted to encourage that brother, if he's listening, that the way I kind of came to grips with it, I just learned that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I used to think that, you know, you just had to work out or exercise or, you know, all that kind of stuff to get in shape. But just being having the joy of the Lord is enough to give me strength every day, even though I'm overweight or I'm not working out like I really want to. But I have strength just because of the joy of the Lord. And I just want to encourage that brother that even though you may be falling into sin, but if you keep the Lord, in your head and his salvation and everything, that'll give you strength to overcome whatever you have to go through.
Antoine, those are good words. As the writer of Hebrews said, keep your eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where our eyes need to be. Whenever we tend to move them away from Jesus and onto the things of this world, that's when our emotions get all distraught and disturbed and go to the dark side and to the negative aspects of life. But when we can keep our eyes on Christ, even though our circumstances don't necessarily change, our perception of those circumstances change. We begin to see things through God's eyes and through His purposes. And that's when we can experience the real joy of the Lord and the real contentment that He has for us in Christ Jesus. And I find people who are depressed, of course, there's different degrees of depression. But for most, there's this lack of contentment. There's this restlessness inside, and they can't find anything that can calm that down. So that's why we have to get back to Jesus. That's why His message brings hope, brings something solid that we can stand upon, that can get us through the turbulent waters that we encounter in life. So, Antoine, great words. We sure appreciate the encouragement.
Yes, indeed, from Los Angeles.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yes.
Well, let's go to Buffalo, New York, and talk with Ali. Hi, Ali. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Pastor. I have a dearest respect for you as a non-practicing Muslim. You are a very great gentleman. You're talking about, but I was listening to your show today, and you mentioned that Jesus is the King of the Jews. I want to educate your listeners. If they read Quran, 19 places in Quran, this is the Islamic book that we have this sense that the Islams are not Christian believers, because everywhere in Quran, as a person that was once upon a time, it says you have to believe in God of Abraham. You have to believe the prophets came before your last prophet. And if you don't believe in Judaism and Christianity, you're not a true Muslim, period. It says in 28 places. In 19 places, they emphasize on Messiah. There is a chapter devoted completely to Mary, how this divine and holy person came to this world, Christ. And they say the Messiah will come back. The only difference between us as a non-practicing Muslim and Christianity, we believe that Jesus was never crucified. He was taken away by the God, and He will come back to guide everybody to the righteous path. So I just want to make a correction on your statement. He's not the King of the Jews and Christians. He's the King of all of us.
Well, Ali, I was simply reading a passage out of the book of Matthew, that the Magi said, where is this one who's been born King of the Jews? But as we know from Scripture, Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. He is both Lord and God and King. That's who he is. We know that. And every knee will bow and say that Jesus is Lord. That's just reality. That's just truth. So I agree. He is King, period. There's no one like him. There's no one that can supersede him. Every other person would be underneath this Jesus. But Ali, I would encourage you to take a fresh look at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Paul said he preached Christ and Christ crucified. Apart from Christ being crucified, there is no salvation from sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That's how Jesus saved us from our sins. That's part of this Christmas story as well. That's a part of his name, that Jesus has come to save us from our sins, to save me from my sins, to save you from your sins. And he did that by shedding his blood. And if he wasn't if he wasn't crucified, if he didn't die, there would be no resurrection. And if there's no resurrection, there's really no Christianity. So that whole Christ event, as Richard calls it, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That makes up the gospel. That is the good news that we believe as Christians, that we believe is the hope for every single person. And Ali, we believe that's the hope for you as well. Christ crucified, Christ buried, Christ raised back to life, so that you, Ali, can experience life everlasting.
Can I speak? Hello?
Quickly. We've got several other callers on the line, but go ahead.
I'm respecting your opinion. I didn't call you to argue with your belief. I respect your belief, and we have to respect the other people's belief, too. I always say, what's going to happen to the people that they believe in Buddhism, Chinese things, and other things? So we cannot blame others, but I respect your belief. Yeah. But I encourage you, at the same token, when you review Quran, you will find in 19 places that it says Jesus will come back and guide everybody to the righteous path. So there is a common language between all the religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And gentlemen like you, because I believe you, Pastor, because you're one of the smartest pastors in the radio show, not encouraging hate, but encouraging love, in the Christmas time, and Merry Christmas to you and your family and your patterns and whoever is believing your church. I respect that. But I will encourage to read that, and you will find there is a common ground among all of us. And we have to concentrate on that. This is the time in the Christmas that we should be loving and showing our good. And forget about the lunacy.
Well, Ali, we appreciate those words. We really, really do. And we appreciate you calling in. And I hope this can be the start of a wonderful friendship, as we've heard in movie lore from way back when. But Ali, I hope you will call us back. I would really like to cultivate a friendship and carry on more conversation with you. Okay.
God bless you and Merry Christmas to you and your family, sir.
Oh, well, thank you, Ali. Thanks for your call.
Very
God bless.
Interesting call. Yeah. 844-322-2742. We still have some time on the clock. 844-322-2742.
Well, and I want to follow up a little bit on Ali's conversation there. You know, there are common things within Judaism and Islam and Christianity. There's some things that you can look at, but here's the stark difference. Jesus Christ came so that we might have life. We talked about that last Friday on our teaching edition. We went over passage after passage after passage of the why of Jesus. Why did he come into this world? So that we might have life. Without resurrection, there's no life to give. And there's no other place to find life. Jesus is the only one that has life available to give. You can't find it in any religious philosophy. You can't find it in any set of religious rules or regulations or traditions. It resides in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Because he lives, we have the opportunity to live through faith in him. That is the gospel message. So those who grew up in the Buddhist belief system or some other philosophy that's out there, God is big enough to get life to those people in Jesus.
Yes.
So we don't have to think, oh no, they're just out of luck because they grew up. As Paul wrote in, or as Luke wrote in Acts about Paul's conversation with the philosophers in Athens, he said, God has set the times and places and boundaries for every person so that within those they can seek God and hopefully find him. So God is not beyond anybody's reach. He's near you. The word is in your mouth. It's Jesus Christ. And God is big enough to get that message to any person, regardless of where they are, regardless of their background, regardless of how deeply entrenched they may be in a religious persuasion or tradition. God can get the message of Christ. Why? Because only in Christ is there life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. It's as simple as that. Folks look at that and say, that's exclusive. We can't be exclusive. We have to be inclusive. That's the big word today. We have to be tolerant. We have to accept. Well, we simply have to say we're all human beings looking for the same thing, and that's a true knowledge of God and life everlasting. Where are you going to find it? As far as I know, there's only one place, and his name is Jesus Christ. Yes. That's why we lift up the name of Jesus, so that all men can be drawn unto him, regardless of religious background.
Can I just say amen to that?
You can.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's go to Paris, Texas, and talk with Harold. Hi, Harold.
Hi. I'm glad to be able to talk to you. I've been saved now since 1976. And I've been so happy in the Lord because he took me out of so many bad things. But something confused me just recently, and it put some sort of doubt in my mind, and I'm going to need to talk to someone who knows more about it. And that is, when I was taught, when you die and you're in the Lord, you go to heaven and your body waits for the Lord to come, so you come back and pick up the body with the soul. Well, I was told yesterday, in fact, I heard it again, about something they called soul sleep, where you die and you just lay on the ground with nothing going on.
Yeah, well, soul sleep, Harold, is not something that you find in the Bible. There are different sects of Christianity that believe in soul sleep, and they take various obscure passages and build a case for it, but it's not clearly laid out in the Word of God at all. As a matter of fact, what you say you believe, that when you die you're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord, that is biblically sound. So, Harold, if you passed away today and you're in Christ, as soon as you took your last breath, you would be immediately absent from your body, Harold, and you would be present with the Lord. You would be exactly where Jesus is, just like the thief on the cross. When Jesus looked at him and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," that was true. And it's the same for you, Harold. Today, if you passed away, you're going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So take heart. Let this hope of Christ be yours, be the anchor for your soul, and give you that godly perspective about death that only Christians can have, that it simply is a means of you passing out of that body and going into his presence.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate your call, as we appreciate all of those who call or email us to pose a question here at Basic Gospel. Well, that's our broadcast for today, everybody. Keep in mind that as we approach the end of the year, we really need your help to close the year on positive financial footing. Give us a call at 844-412-2742. Speak with our operator, or you can go to basicgospel.net. Click Meet the Author. We'll send you a copy of that Bible study plan free of charge. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.